mentions the nature of perfection to live sinless. But I know that if God is coming back for a bride that is perfect, spotless, without wrinkle, how is he ever going to come back if we couldn't become perfect? You know, I have people argue with me. I don't understand what they're thinking. They send letters and write in, well, the Bible says all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and any man says he's without sin, he's a liar. And you're sitting here saying we can live perfect without sin. That's that unrevelated mind talking. Because, yes, all men have, past tense, sinned. And all men have fallen short of the glory up to this point. Any man who said he has never sinned is a liar. But that has nothing to do with the new creature. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means I am no longer in a sin consciousness. I am now in a divine nature or a God consciousness that can only be activated by prophecy. The Bible says if a man will confess with his mouth and believe in his heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, he will be saved, right? Is that, I mean, I paraphrased that, but I mean general thought. We must activate our divine nature with articulation. We must say, I have accepted the divine nature. The blood of Christ, the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, was the provision for us to have our nature changed from being sons of men to sons of God. And we've got to understand there is a process. Now see, the Word and Faith movement almost had it. But they didn't have it because they used confession power for their own desire. Now I'm going to meddle in some religious cesspools now. These people go to these conventions and learn how to confess well so they can have cars and things. We are given the power of confession and articulation through a self-prophecy to activate our nature in God, not to get stuff. Salvation is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. So you must accept the divine nature, then you must declare the divine nature. And you cannot demonstrate the divine nature till you've declared the divine nature, which has been accepted by faith. Can I tell y'all something? When you're born of the Spirit, you don't have faith. I said, there is a teaching that came with that Word and Faith movement that said, make your faith work for you. Apostasy. First of all, the faith you have is God's faith, not yours. Nowhere is the nature of God's faith given to you for your own use. It's for His use. I got to talk to you tonight. Because I'm telling you, we got to get delivered the way Peter had to get delivered through a progressive revelation of his own nature. You don't have your faith. I'm trying to build my faith. You ain't got no faith to build. You were born with a measure of faith, which was God's faith and His mercy in you. And when you come to Him, it was His faith that brought you to Him, that He could call His own faith out of you. In other words, you don't have faith, you are faith. The concept that I can build and work my faith is a works mentality. Jesus told his disciple, if you have faith as a grain of the mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast down to the sea, and it'll be done. Honey, you don't got a seed, you got a measure. You better look up in the Bible what a measure means. It's a whole bunch of seeds that was given to you. Some people are still trying to get a seed of faith. Honey, you were born with a measure of faith. There is no limitation. He who speaks to the word of the Lord is given the Spirit without measure. And you got to start to look, we try to confess earthly things into our life rather than confess our true nature to the earth. This is the problem with religion. This is the problem with ministry gifting. We're not called to build ministries. We're called to for God to build the kingdom through us. Well, I have a ministry. That's your problem. Is you have a ministry. I remember the day God brought me in this building and told me, I'm gonna build a church here. And I said, God, am I going to be here too? Because it made no sense to come down in here. And if you would have saw it, I brought some people who just started with us, and I brought them in here. I was so excited. There was nothing in here but these poles. No walls, no plumbing, nothing. And God said, I'm going to build my kingdom out of here. And I said, will I be here too? Because, and we brought some people down, and I just said, look what God's given. They go, you're crazy. People get their cars broken into down here. But see, God is not into demographics. He don't care if it's convenient. In fact, the first three places we were at, you couldn't find the place for 3 weeks. And I was preaching out of the Saul order. I was preaching manipulation and control and legalism, not even knowing I was. And everybody who wanted to perform would be drawn to me because they like to hear, well, I can work up the ladder in this ministry, you see. See, whatever you are, you attract to yourself. If you're into performance, you attract everybody who wants to perform. Yeah, if you're insecure, you attract everything and everybody that's insecure. If you need the approval of man, everybody who wants it, and all you do is run around trying to approve one another. God said, I'm going to build a work here. I said, well, will I be here too? Because I don't see it, but I believed it. And we got this place, and you all know the story. I mean, this is nothing. God, this is nothing for God, but it's nothing now. I mean, it's not what he has in mind. He's bringing it to what he has. We're growing up into the full stature of God. But I began to understand something. As hard as I work and as much as I worry, it ain't happening, God. He said, because when you stop doing it, I'm going to do it. He says, and your problem is you think if you have a bunch of people who give you money, you're doing it. I'm just going to get naked with you tonight. I mean, sometimes a testimony. You know, I remember the first time I preached at the House of Joy Miracle Deliverance Church in Denver, first revival I ever preached for Ralph Beecher. He invited me. I was a new preacher. I went up there the first night. I remember I was preaching on the harvest. And Sonny and I were going. I was praying. I got up there. Four-night revival. I got up there, and I was preaching. I was tearing it up. I was imitating Shambach. I was imitating Rod Parsley, John Hagee. I had every preacher I admire. I was imitating every one of them. I swaggered. I was full-blown swaggered then. I could cry. I could laugh. I could kip. I could skip. I could spin. I had them all down. All into one nice package. And the people were running and shouting. Showed up the second night on the way there. I was in a cold sweat. I said, God, I don't know what to preach. I preached everything I know. I've demonstrated every move that I've seen. What am I going to do tonight? And so the choir singing, and Brother Paul Schell coming up to minister. And I got up there, got the mic. I said, God, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. I preached everything I preached. He said, good, now I can preach. Now it's your done. Now it's your done imitating everybody you admire. I'm going to attempt to manifest myself through you. I mean, it was a part of the process. I'm going to tell all you young preachers, take a lesson from me. You can spend years imitating somebody else and never know what it's like to have God speak through you. Now, there are impartations. I'm not saying you won't get an impartation, you know, because there are certain things of the Spirit. How many of you notice we're getting bigger? You have to say, what do you say that for? There is, the personality of God is being common in the body as it comes into unity. How many of you know it seems like time is going faster? It's not that you're getting older. Daniel said in the last days, knowledge would increase. When knowledge increases, technology increases. When technology increases, unlimited ability increases. And when things become unlimited, you can do it fast. Time goes faster. And we're getting bigger. I believe Adam was real big. The original Adam, have you seen, you know, talk about those big angels. But see, man, through his degenerative process, became smaller and smaller. And then about 10 years ago, man started getting bigger again. Because we're being restored back to the divine nature, which is big. The average size of man, I'm not talking about growing out this way, although we've always been good. I'm talking about just getting bigger. It's a sign. I'm telling you, it's a sign. We're getting bigger. Because we've reversed now, we're being restored back. And there's a remnant that started to be birthed at some point between this early 60s and late 80s, a remnant started to be birthed very small, and men started getting bigger. I know you got to think, you're saying, he's really gone off now. It's the truth. We're getting bigger because, and we're living longer. And you can attribute that to medical science if you want to, but it's not. It's a sign of the restoration of all things. See, we are not going to have this sudden interruption of time and Gabriel blowing some horn. We are going to grow up in the unity of the faith. We're all going to all come into the unity of the faith. And then there's going to be a changing in the twinkling of an eye and a manifestation of the body. All that other stuff is fables. If you want to hear about it, you can hear or get the Remain Generation tape. Dreams are made of faith. Faith is full of revelation, and revelation is processed through relationships. Now, are you at Acts 10? We have got to overcome the enemy of our identity and our divine nature. Let me tell you some of the things I believe are enemies of our divine nature. Inferiority, insecurity, intimidation, and independence. Independence is the number one enemy of the divine nature because God himself is an interdependent created being. I mean, creator. He's not a created being, he's a creator. We're a created being of him in his likeness and image. So these things, inferiority, insecurity, independence, and intimidation are anti-types of God. God is interdependent. Antichrist is independent. God is unified. Has an undefined nature of cooperation. The Antichrist spirit uses intimidation. Hidden suspicion or insecurity. Insecurity is nothing more than hidden suspicion is an enemy of the divine nature. If you're insecure and you walk in a false humility, you will never accept and declare your divine nature. Jesus was a bold man, but he was a humble man. He told the Pharisees, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He flat told them. They said, this man's a blasphemer. He claims equality with God. Then he told us, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Because I'm going to breathe my Holy Spirit on you in the 20th chapter of John. And when I do, I'm going to give you the power to forgive sins. And only God can forgive sins. So when you become one in my nature to forgive sins, you're going to be hated for having to declare that as a part of your nature. Insecurity cannot claim equalization in nature with God because it is hidden suspicion. The religious are suspicious. I got a message for you. Suspicious minds are unrenewed minds. They are against the declaration of the true divine nature. I don't say that I'm equalized with God to exalt humanity. God does not become less of himself because he's decided to indwell man. I just said a mouthful to you. You better hear it again. God does not become less of who he is because he's chosen to indwell man. Can I teach you some mysteries tonight? And I give God the praise for him because this boy here, my mother was my third grade school teacher. She can tell you I don't have enough brains to figure this out. Yeah, my mom said, thank God for divine revelation. She's an educator. Can you imagine it, having me for a son when you're an educator? the blessing. I mean, when I first started preaching, she says, you use double negatives. You use it. I said, what? I said, she's been correcting my grammar tonight. All right. So, this insecurity or this suspicious mind that has been indoctrinated to us by the precepts and the traditions of men makes us feel guilty about declaring our equalization with the nature of God. Why in the world would it bother God that we claimed equalization that he offered a sacrifice to bring us into? Basically, he did an inverted sacrifice. He sacrificed unlimited to enter limitation. He offered limitation to enter unlimitedness. He was spirit that became flesh, so flesh could become spirit. He inverted what happened at the fall. Man was spirit. He fell, had to take skin and be covered with skin. And now he's inverted it. He became skin that man could become spirit. And suspicion will deny the transubstantiation and the transmutation of our heavenly body. See, we have a heavenly body and an earthly body. The earthly body was sown in corruption, for it was limited, for it come from the dust of the earth. But God has reserved for us in his Son a heavenly body that is not perishable. It is incorruptible. We shall put off corruptible and put on incorruptibility because he has prepared a heavenly body for us. By his sacrifice, all he did was reverse the curse of the fall of Adam. God is spirit. He's not a spirit. He is spirit. Can I tell you, God's in the chair you're sitting in? Because that chair you're sitting in was in the spirit, which had to come into the mind of a designer of chairs. What you're sitting on right now was one spirit. It was substance in the spirit that had to come through the mind of a person to become substance for you to sit on. To sell to me and you to get money from us. If he is spirit, he's everywhere. He's in the atmosphere. Heaven is the atmosphere. Heaven is not all in some place. Heaven is nothing more than the place you leave the natural and go into the atmosphere. Jesus did it. He appeared after the resurrection, walked through a closed door, then sat down and ate steak, ate fruit. Heaven is a place where you can move in and out of the atmosphere. You can go from spirit to flesh and back to spirit with a heavenly body. That's where heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is within you. There's already a heavenly body reserved within you because Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you and Christ is in God, that means God is in you. And that means the heavenly body, he's gone to prepare. He says, I go to the Father. My question is, if he and the Father are one, if the Father was in him, where did he go? To the Spirit. I got to get back to Sunday's message just to get you into this mystery I'm going to share with you. It's the mystery of kingdoms. Sonia, write that down. The mystery of kingdoms. We're going to talk about the mystery of kingdoms. There's different kingdoms. Did you know that? There's different, he says, but I give you the key to the kingdom, which is the ability to leave the natural dimension, move into the spirit dimension, come back in the natural dimension with a heavenly body. I'm preaching what they preach to the early church here. That's why they had no problem being persecuted or martyred. Because they saw that as a glorification ability to go into the spirit realm. On the day Jesus come up out of the grave, many of the saints of old were walking the streets of Jerusalem just by the remnant power of his resurrection. But they didn't have a new body. Every person Jesus healed did not, they died. Everybody he healed ended up dying. He raised Lazarus. Lazarus ended up dying anyway. But when you get a heavenly body, you have eternal life because You clothe yourself with a body because a soul without a body is in hell. All hell is the place where souls without bodies go. So if you die and you don't have a flesh body covering your soul, and you don't have a heavenly body to put on, you have a soul without a body, and that's where souls go without bodies, is to hell. Because soul realm is a kingdom. Soul realm is a kingdom realm. The mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the soul kingdom, and the spirit kingdom. There are five kingdoms, grace. The reason I do that is like, these angels are around me talking to me all at once. I'm going, would you just put it all in one place? See, the grace is in the oil. The olive branch is in the mouth of the dove. You got to understand the five components of the kingdoms is the mineral kingdom, which is the lowest form of kingdom life. All right? Can I reveal a mystery to you tonight? But he deals with the mineral kingdom. Now, I'll get to Acts 10 in a minute, but Acts 10 will mean more to you after I get to where I want to be. The mineral kingdom is powerful. In other words, let me put it this way. If there's a flood and it starts washing away everything, there comes a great flood. It's purely, let's talk purely physical. Take soul out of man, just have physical without soul. Because soul is a kingdom. Mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, animal kingdom, soul kingdom, spirit kingdom. Five kingdoms. You got to go back to Genesis to see the five kingdoms. He created them. Now we're going to get in. God said he's going to unveil the mysteries in the last days, so we understand you are going to be so blessed by the time we get to the end of this thing. This is why you're not dirt. If you were dirt, you would be in the mineral kingdom. Mineral kingdom has no mind, no intellect, no emotions. We were formed from the dust. We are created in the likeness of God, but formed from the mineral kingdom. Created in the spirit identity, but formed in the mineral kingdom. Y'all wonder, am I even in church? Yeah, you are. You're at church. Understand, if you really want to understand your life, go back to the book of Genesis. That's where all the mysteries are hidden. And Paul preached the law of the prophets, which understood the book of Genesis. Are you here? God, a divine spirit, wanted to make himself visible. Let's just make it easy what Christianity is about. An eternal God wanted to make himself visible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Spirit. John 1, 1 and 2. All right? So God's motivation was, I want to make the invisible visible. But he didn't just want to make the invisible visible. He wanted to make the visible invisible again to be visible. So you got to go through the grace of the five kingdoms to understand your nature so you can now declare your divine nature. I could preach for about 5 hours right now. I don't know what is around me, but I like it. It's around you too. That's why you're going, come on, come on, come on. See? This is not a echo. This is a voice from God to you now. So you were formed from the mineral kingdom, but you were created from the spirit kingdom. And between there is the plant kingdom, which you eat, the animal kingdom, which you conquer, and the soul kingdom, the mind, the intellect, and the emotions by which you live in the visible dimension. But he did a reverse. He took his spirit, you were creating his likeness and image, and he went to the lowest form, mineral, and said, I'm going to start there and then bring it back to spirit. We are the generation God has chosen to manifest the transition, the full transition into his spirit. Huh? That's why you're not dirt. You're not mineral, lower kingdom. He wanted a man in a physical body in the spirit realm. He wanted man in a man. Remember, how many men are there in the earth? Two. Two men in the earth. Adam, corporate body. Christ, corporate body of a new creation. We are either members of Adam or members of Christ. Two men. He wanted a man in the earth, visible in the spirit realm. He wanted a visible man in the spirit realm. He started off by bringing an invisible self into a visible realm, but he wants a visible man in the spirit realm. This is a deep mystery. You need to understand what the new creation is, what the divine nature is. It is not an invisible man in the spirit realm. It's a visible man in the spirit realm. That's simple, isn't it? I am a visible man seated with Christ. I am a visible man in the spirit realm. Through the blood of Jesus, which had to bring a change to my nature, which I had to accept by confession. Now tell me how that coordinates with us saying, if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? You know why that bless its heart, or his heart. No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't. Bless his heart, that transvestite that called me this afternoon on the radio. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? He called in. God told me when he called on the line, sounded totally like a female, was a female. We talked to him afterwards. I gave him a complimentary tape of the divine nature, and I said to him on the radio, I said, you have to try to be a man or a woman. I didn't say, are you a man or a woman? What's wrong with you? I started ministering to his nature that is misdefined by the Spirit of God. The traditional church would go, the traditional church wouldn't even talk to this guy, get him anywhere near wanting to hear. I said, can I send you the divine nature? He said, yeah, I'll listen to it. I promise I'll listen to it if you send it. If you don't like New Agers, transvestites, homosexuals, perverts, idolaters, you don't want to be a part of the church in the last days. Because God is going to show his glory. The only reason their nature is misdefined is because the church's nature is misdefined. And once we rightly define our nature, their nature is going to come right into line with it. I prophesy that when the church accepts its rightfully defined nature, then men and women will begin to accept their rightfully defined nature. Instead of saying, well, God hates that, it's an abomination. Of course it's an abomination to God. Not because he just is repulsed by homosexuality. You think homosexuality shocks God? You know what insults God is someone who rejects their nature. That's why Lucifer was cast from hell like lightning down to earth, because he rejected the nature of his position and said, I will be like God and exalt myself. He wouldn't accept his defined position in nature. Can I preach on? I know it's late. We got to talk about these five kingdoms so you can then declare your nature. Are you here? Okay. Think about creation, the mineral creation, water, rock, soil, wind. Actually, wind is the result of minerals and the air mixing in their heat and cold. Wind is a part of the mineral. So is waves in the ocean. From the minerals of the earth turning. So you got wind, elements, rock, water, soil, the mineral kingdom. These are the things that are not life producing. We were made from something that's not life producing. That's why Adam became a living soul, not a life-giving spirit. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody here? This is the message. This is what will set the whole nation free. And there's a lot of people preaching it. And you're going to be some who go back to your cities and preach it. You see, KCI students, this is a message you got to take back there. They are just minerals. So number one kingdom, mineral kingdom. He created five different elements in five different days. He started off with light and dark, which we already studied about. Remember, the light and dark, day and night. You can get that tape. But anyway. Mineral creation. Then there's the plant kingdom, trees and all growing things that we eat for food, because there's no life producing power in minerals. You can't eat a hunk of silver, you know, or coal. It will not nourish you. You have to eat it, eat what comes out of the mineral kingdom, which is the plant life. So you have the lowest form, the mineral life, which includes the waves and the wind. Then the animal kingdom, which is insects, birds, horses, tigers, elephants, etc. Everybody still here? Now, you need to hear by the Spirit so you can declare your nature. Then there's the soul realm of man, which is a living soul, which is the man's kingdom, which is mind, emotions, and will. That is the fourth level of kingdoms. Then you have the kingdom of the Spirit. Now check it out. There's a difference between the kingdoms. Purely physical. The purely physical realm is the first three kingdoms. Without the soul entering into it, without a man or his intellect, let's just take the physical realm. Take the soul and the intellect out of man. Take it out of him for a minute. Just his mineral makeup, eating plants, no soul. Everybody following me? This is why salvation is a lot more than not going to hell. Salvation is a transition from the soul realm to the spirit realm. It's not going to hell. It's a transmutation from soul to spirit. God is so good. Without the soul entering in, without man's intellect, the most powerful beast and man, without using his mind, who's going to win? Take the most powerful beast and man, just in the physical strength, who's going to win? The beast is going to win by pure physical nature. The animal is stronger than the man without soul or intellect. But man has conquered animal with having a soul and intellect, although physically he's inferior. You're going to get this. You're going to get this because this has everything to do with your salvation. I'm not teaching some biology class here. I flunked that in junior college. But I'd like to go back and talk to him now. Whatever. The most powerful beast of man without using mind or soul, the beast is going to conquer the man. I mean, let's face it. But with a soul and a mind, it's the same way with the mineral kingdom. You take the soul and the mind and intellect out of man and a flood comes, who's going to win? The man or the flood? Take the mind and the soul and the will and the emotions out of man. Who is going to conquer? The God of this present age has been given limited authority over the limited realm. Hear me. As his judgment. The devil's judgment is to be God of this present age. That's his judgment. Now, a great flood sweeps over the land. Can you find an animal so strong that it can stop the flood? Is there any animal that can stop a mineral, physical, mineral kingdom advance? Can you find any man that can stop an animal kingdom advance? Can you find any animal that can tear down a mighty oak tree? They can sit in it and use it for shade. But the lower form is more powerful. The lowest form is more powerful. How many of you have ever been to the ocean? I mean, that is one powerful force. You go stand out there, it'll suck you in, man. If you don't have a mind as to how far you better go. I'm just showing you. So the lower form, look here, the base form, and the life and the living soul realm is inferior to the spirit. Now let's listen to this. The wind blows until it comes to a screaming tornado. Can you find a tree strong enough to endure the tornado? See, the mineral world has power over the plant world in terms of physical power. The plant world and the mineral world has power over the animal kingdom. But the animal kingdom has power over the physical man without the soul and the mind. But with the soul and the mind, man has dominion. over the earth. It takes the power of the soul and the mind, and that is where most unbelievers and most unawakened people are. They have built what they've built by soul and mind power. I got to preach some John G. Lake to you now. I feel his anointing coming on me. See, he could preach, the spiritists are nothing more than those who define soul and mind power as spirit. Hear me. They use mind power to build buildings. They use mind power to cage. I mean, you don't go to any animal zoo where humans are behind cages. And the animals are walking around, you know. They use soul power to put animals in zoos. They use soul power to have botanic gardens. They have soul powers to rip up land and build buildings, soul and mind power. That's where the church is. Most of the church is operating in the fourth kingdom. But there's a remnant who says, we will not be held down to the soul realm. We may have conquered. Yes. I have a feeling some of those people are in this room tonight that are tired of listening to mind expository, that want to move into a dimension beyond the soul and mind. Can you find a tree strong enough to overtake a tornado? The mineral kingdom is physically the strongest kingdom, and it is not a life-giving kingdom. You know what a judgment was to throw Lucifer down from up there and call him Satan here? That's why Jesus loved to rebuke the wind. That's why Elijah had a nature like ours and said, nature, listen, because he moved into the spirit realm. You cannot stop wind with mind power. You can only stop it with spiritual power. You cannot stop. You cannot say to a tree, you're going to die and never bear fruit again with mind power or soul power or willpower or emotional power. You've got to have the power of the Spirit. You cannot say to a tumor in somebody's belly, I'm going to concentrate on your tumor. You've got to have spirit power. God is looking for a man in the spirit on the earth. The Son of Man, which is the corporate body of Christ, who has a heavenly body reserved for him, operating now, not after we die. Is anybody getting anywhere? See, you cannot articulate your divine nature until you realize that Christ came to take you out of soul and mind power, which is a limited power over the mineral, the plant, and the animal kingdom. Huh? Now, I'm going to get into some stuff here talking about what we talked about Monday night, about your emotional dysfunctions is nothing more than a worship of your mind and your soul power. I told somebody to ask counseling them. I love Mark Griffin. Mark, come here. I'll use you for an example. I love Mark Griffin. Actually, my own son is not serving God right now, and a lot of you are praying for him, but he's going to. I asked God, why is that? He said, I'm preserving him for something. Anyway, this is like a son to me. If my son rebels against the spirit kingdom, I have to be delivered from my soul and my mind dysfunction in order to say, go eat with the pigs and not feel guilty about it. As for me and my house, we will live in the spirit kingdom. As much as I love Mark, as much as we minister together, if he decided to get out of the order of the spirit kingdom, I could say, get out and not feel guilty about it. Because when you move out of the soul and the emotional realm to the spirit realm, you understand purpose. Have a seat. Now listen. Every one of us here are soulically, emotionally, intellectually, mindfully messed up, are living off an indoctrination of religion that feeds soul and mind power and not spiritual reality. I gotta talk to you. All this sentimentality about the rapture escape, all this stuff is devised out of a soul. In other words, I can't understand heaven because I'm not in the spirit, so I got to make heaven earthly with soul and mind power rather than allow the unlimitedness of heaven to become heaven on earth. That's why divine conflict. Can I tell you where the power is? Let me tell you where the power is, beloved. I'm running out of time. I want to preach tonight. But I got to tell you, you know where the power is? It's in the offense. Whoever you're offended with, the power of the Spirit is in that relationship. Because when you step out of soul and mind dysfunction into spiritual reality, you release that person from a limitation of soul, mind, and emotional and sentimental attachment. For what the Spirit of God has joined together, no man can mess with. This is the message that's going to win the New Agers. I'm writing a new book called now, The Windows of Heaven, transitioning from the information realm to the revelation realm. That's what it's called. Y'all need to keep praying for it. My number one distribution is going to be in the metaphysical bookstores. I ain't putting it in no Christian bookstore and getting it messed up. Well, I'll put it in some Christian bookstores, but I'm going to put it in the metaphysical bookstores. Because these people are looking for an answer of why their mind and soul power ain't working. That's where Jesus would take his book. So everybody could get mad over it. Huh? Then the plant kingdom, you have this tree, and it can't do anything. And then the animal kingdom, as opposed to man's kingdom, or the kingdom of the soul. Let's look at the animal kingdom as opposed to the soul kingdom. Physically, which is more powerful, the animal kingdom or the man kingdom? If you had a tug of war between an elephant and the strongest man, take the governor of Minnesota, the body himself. Who's going to win between the elephant and him? You know what I'm saying? John Jacobs in the power team. The whole power team ain't going to hold an elephant. Talking in pure physical strength. Y'all still with me? Who's going to win? Here's the fastest man in the world, and then here's a cheetah. I mean, Jesse Owens and a cheetah. Who's going to win? Huh? I'm asking you. Cheetah's going to win. So the lower the kingdom, the stronger it is in the natural. This is what your salvation is all about. Oh, man, I'm over time. If I stop now, I'm in trouble. Here's the fastest man, cheetah. What's going to win the race? The lower kingdom will win. The lower kingdom is always subject to the higher kingdom, even though it's more powerful. That's why when they built the Tower of Babel, God interrupted them. He said, because in the soul and mind power, they can build all the way. Are you following me here? The lower kingdom is always stronger, but the higher kingdom is always over the lower kingdom. Because in the four dimensions, the soul and mind is more powerful than physical strength. You better understand, some of this stuff you see witchcraft do, it's real. It's real, but it's soul and mind. There's people who can move things with their mind, because with the mind and soul power, with the soul man, you can accomplish. That's what soul stirring is in some music. It can move you, bring back those old dysfunctional emotions of when you were sinning your brains out and it felt good. You can almost even smell that perfume and that alcohol and remember that moment. Power of the soul realm. All right, now listen. It's called the power of the mind and the power of the soul. Through the power of the soul, man has conquered the animal kingdom. The soul is much more powerful than the body. Now, based on the mineral, the plant, the animal kingdom, is the soul more powerful than the body? Is it? Yes, it is. So you agree, let's agree with it. That is what we, Adam, came, the fall of Adam brought us to, was a soul, life-giving soul that had more powerful than the body, more power than the body. That's what romance is. Not just in relationship, romance of everything is soul power, which is stronger than the physical. But can I tell you, God, that Paul, when he came, he says, I'm going to deliver fundamental soul and mind power. He said, I did not come with the wisdom of the minds of men, but I came in power and demonstration of the Spirit. He said, I've come with something more powerful than the soul and the mind. The saving of our soul is the deliverance from our soul and mind realm. Now, we have the mind of Christ, which is a spirit. Through the power of the soul, man has conquered the animal kingdom and all the kingdoms, but only through the power of the soul. Man has not conquered it. The power of the soul has conquered it. Mind, will, intellect, emotion. If we use our soul or mind power, we are far greater than the physical realm. This is where people who are not awakened to Christ operate. Their minds have created music, art, build huge buildings, create hospitals, all the things animals do not do. If man did not have a soul and a mind, he could only do what animals do. But God gave him a soul and a mind, so he has the music and art. Now here's the problem. We're taking back the music with the Spirit. Man has created music with a mind and with a soul, but God has music that's created by the Spirit. God has art that is created by the Spirit, which is higher than the soul and mind realm. When we talk about taking back the arts, we're not talking about bringing the soul and mind realm into the church. We're talking about bringing the spirit realm into the church, into the body, into Zion. Are y'all here? Their minds have created all these things. They work by instincts that God has given them. So people you meet that are not awakened to the divine nature, even religious people, the works is by their soul and mind. That's why they limit God with Scripture. That's what the Pharisees do. I've studied the Bible for 15 years and I don't see it, because you're seeing through the mind and the soul and not through the Spirit. Because you don't see it doesn't mean the Spirit hasn't revealed it. It means you can't see it through the Spirit because you're looking through the soul and the mind. But there is another kingdom. Kingdom of the Spirit. Look at somebody, say, touch somebody gently and say, the kingdom of the Spirit. And the difference between the spirit man and the soul man is far greater difference. Now listen, the difference, now everybody here, I'm about done. I got about a paragraph of things I want to say. That's five spiritual preaching minutes. My wife says that's 75 minutes. No. I'm about done, but you don't want to leave without understanding. The difference between the spirit and the soul and mind is as different as the soul and mind is from the mineral realm. That's like trying to get a piece of dirt to walk. The superiority the soul and mind has over the mineral kingdom, over the animal kingdom and the plant, is the same power the Spirit has over the soul and mind. We're talking about spirit here. That's why I told you Paul was the most holy mystic of all. I know that freaks out some of y'all's soul mind. Listen to this. The difference between the spirit man and the soul man is far greater than the difference between the soul and the body. Jesus is the only example we have of this man. Christ. He came to earth, walked among men, now listen, in their realm. The Spirit came and manifested itself among souls and minds, which had accomplished something in conquering. Therefore, they were arrogant, the Bible says. For they, though they knew God, they would not acknowledge God as being God, for neither were they thankful, because insecure inferiority, suspicion cannot be thankful for the superiority of something outside of itself. That's why unteachability is a soul-mind bondage. Huh? He stripped himself of what he was and walked among men in their realm. Now, some people say, how many of you? Jesus could not really have been Jewish in culture because his father was spirit. Everybody draws pictures of what Jesus looked like. But his father was not Jewish. His father was spirit. Let's just destroy another fable here. His father was spirit. What color of eyes does spirit have? How tall was Jesus? I thank God we don't have a record of his height. We don't have a record of his stature or his weight, because souls and minds would try to imitate that. His father was spirit. He was the firstborn of many spirits. Firstborn of many visible men in the spirit realm. That's what Christianity is. It's visible men in the spirit realm. This is a lot better than worrying about storing up silver and gold. Notice I said storing up. I want to keep myself safe with my friends. Jesus was spirit, and what spirit was? He was a man visible in the spirit realm. He was the visible manifestation of God, Colossians tells us. Do you know what a new creation is? It's a man who's gone to the fifth kingdom and stays visible. And then accepts it. Sorry about that. And then accepts it by faith, by God's faith. He has already put it. He's already put it in your makeup to declare equalization with his spirit nature, a visible man in the spirit. For we are seated with him in Christ at the right hand of God. Right now we are a visible man in the spirit.
Right.
That's what Christianity is. That's what a Christ man is. That's what a Christos man is. That's why Paul said, I finished the race. I finished it. I'm through. He chose it. He said, I'm choosing to go to spirit now. That's why Jesus said, no man takes my life. He told Pilate, you only have authority over me because it's been given authority to you. He said, you can have no, you are a soul mind man. You cannot have authority over spirit. I love it. You see what he did for us? He brought us here, a soul man. Now look at this. He came. Spirit had the power to create. That is the difference. Spirit has the power to create. That's why I'm not worried about the Antichrist or the rebuilding of the temple. First of all, God's already rebuilt his temple in his body. I go to prepare a place, my temple. In the earth. See, this is why he can be both in the earth and in the spirit at the same time. That's why the book of Revelation is not eschatological timeline evaluation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. That's why we're not, the New Jerusalem is not coming down in the future. The New Jerusalem is already suspended between heaven and earth because we are spirit men in visible bodies. The New Jerusalem, the lights, you are the light of the world. The lights are already there. The New Jerusalem is already suspended. It isn't something happening in the future. It's already that city. In fact, Abraham saw that city. The weird thing about being here is we're really not here. We're just seen here. You got to accept that nature. And you get rid of your dysfunction. Now listen to me. Why do I say that? Is that like a D thing? I don't know. Anyway. The spirit man that comes into the realm of the spirit is going to rule and reign with Jesus over all creation because he will have that power. The power, listen to this, he'll have power over the soulish realm. In other words, he won't be run by his emotions. He will not be run by sentimentality. Do you think Jesus or God were sentimental? Oh, it's our anniversary. Oh, it's Veterans Day. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. Do you think that the spirit realm is run by that? Peter and John come saying to the temple and, huh? Hang in there, girl. Every day we celebrate. All of that is soulish. Let's look at the pictures of when they were little. Oh, my baby's growing up. What is wrong with you? Let them grow up. You are in a mind and a soul bondage to the reminiscing of a sentimental experience. And it's keeping you from releasing the power of God that has domination over the soul realm. That's why the prodigal father could say, go eat with the pigs and here's the money to do it. You ain't, go out and do what you got to do, man. I am in a spiritual kingdom. I don't have time. And I don't feel guilty. I'll be watching. If you do decide to come back, I'll come with a robe of the Spirit. I'll come with sandals of the Spirit. I'll come with a ring of the Spirit. But I'm not going to let your dysfunction bring a soulish mind into my house. Wasn't he cute? Let's look at the album tonight. Why don't you start looking to the future through the mind of God instead of the past through the mind of the soul? Deliverance from the soulish realm. I just remember when we used to go on vacation, the whole family. That's why you still cannot have good relationships today. That's why you're so easily offended. Because your memory of the little bronze booties is controlling your mind. I got the word from God tonight. And it's liberating all of us. Can I tell every parent in this place, your children are not yours. They are the seed of Abraham, and you are a steward of them. And when you pour your emotions and your life into your children, and you renounce your oneness in the Spirit with your spouse, you are in soulish, intellectual, emotional bondage that will never produce the power of God. Look at the church, how sentimental it is. As the soul man has power over the animals, even far greater than this, the spirit man will have power over the soul realm. Nobody comes to this realm except through Jesus. So the question is, if you're sentimental, are you born of the Spirit? I can't take what's happening in the house. What's wrong with you? Why don't you declare the will of the Spirit over your house? As for me and my house, we will serve God. And if you don't want to serve God, get your soulish mind out of here until you're ready to come back and manifest the nature of God. I'll pray for you. I'll love you. And I'll pray protection over you till you come to yourself. And when you come to yourself, you're going to come to God. Because you're created in the likeness and image of God. I'm done.